Last year, a lady by the name of Tracy Trinita came to Brisbane. That name mightn't sound all that familiar to you, but 10 years ago, Tracy was an international supermodel. Now, I know for most of you, your eyes are probably glazing over at this point. You probably don't read the Vogue magazine or whatever those ladies' fashion magazines are. But this lady, Tracy Trinita, was walking the catwalks of New York and London and Paris and Milan in Italy and those sorts of places. And she had everything that this world really, certainly in the fashion industry, had to offer. She was famous. She was beautiful. She had money. She had people hanging around her all of the time. And in terms of what the world says the ultimate lifestyle is, for a woman anyway, this lady had it. But it seems that in the middle of her, of all the height of her success as a supermodel, that she felt that something was missing. She was dissatisfied with the way that her life was. On the outside, she had it all, but on the inside, she was empty. I've got a good friend that I meet up with from time to time who is extremely smart. He's been an extremely successful businessman. He has pretty well all of the ingredients that most people would regard as what is necessary in order to have the good life. And yet whenever I meet him, I always come away with the feeling that this guy still feels as though he's missing something in his life. He's longing for something more. And it gnaws away at him. And he repeatedly raises it in the course of our conversations. And you know, there are so many people today who are like Tracy Trinita, like this friend of mine. For some reason, life is not delivering the kind of fulfilment that they expect. And it may well be that you know what I'm talking about this morning because you feel it as well too. That there's something that is missing. And often you will kind of rationalise this kind of feeling by saying to yourself, thinking to yourself, if only then my life would be great. And you know, there are millions of people in the world today who are on this quest for the fulfilling life, for the satisfying life, for the good life. They're on this quest for the perfect life. What are the missing pieces in this quest? Well, it could be self-improvement, a better version of myself. What I'll do is I'll go and I'll join the gym and I'll pump iron and I'll get fitter and I'll get a more toned body. I'll look a bit different. My self-confidence will lift. Everything's going to be great. Or maybe I'll go and get a new wardrobe. Spend a bit of money, splash out, change my image a bit. People then start to like me. And what happens is that we create in our minds this sort of kind of imaginary picture of who we want to be so that we can have this imaginary perfect life. All right, if it's not self-improvement, maybe it's relationships. If I can only find a husband or a wife, or maybe a better husband or a better wife, well, then life would be wonderful. And this special person is going to come in and is going to complete me and satisfy me and meet my needs for love and affection and intimacy and those sorts of things. You know, then life's going to be great. Maybe it's a quest for more toys. Right, the new house, the new car, a new version of a smartphone, maybe some new devices that you need to have around the home. Do a bit of upgrading here and there. And then when I've got these new toys, that suddenly everything's going to turn around. My life is going to be great again. Or maybe for the first time. Maybe it's a quest for new experiences. A fancy overseas holiday. A new relationship. Maybe even a relationship outside of the normal moral boundaries that I seek to live my life by. Something that I need to spice my life up. And the world is telling me I'm missing out. I've got to have these experiences in order to be able to have a more complete life. Well, the kind of world that we live in today is telling us how we can discover these things and put these things into our lives in order to satisfy us and make us happier and put, you know, more zing into our life. But do they? Do they put more zing into our lives? Tracy Trinita didn't think so. This is what Steve Jobs said when he was in hospital a few days before he died a couple of years ago. I mean, Steve Jobs, you know, one of the most successful, most entrepreneurial guys around, set up Apple Computers. You know, he and Bill Gates are sort of like the two guys at the top of the computer world. This is what he said. I've come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been the symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have no joy. My wealth is simply a fact to which I am accustomed. At this time, lying on my hospital bed, remembering all of my life, I realise that all the accolades and riches of which I was once so proud have become insignificant with my imminent death. Here was a man who in the eyes of, you know, 99.9% of people in this world has actually made it. By all the world's markers of success and accomplishment and happiness, this man ought to have been right at the very, very top. But he disagreed. As far as he was concerned, as he surveyed his life just a few days before he passed away, his life was empty. And we need to think about what really matters, what really completes and fulfills us, because there are so many people who simply have the empty life. In John chapter 4, the passage that Anna read for us a moment ago there, we have the story of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman at a well just outside a small town called Sychar. This was what you might call a chance meeting. Well, if you believe in chance, that is. Jesus just happened to be there in the middle of the day, sitting beside this well just outside the village of Sychar, and along comes this woman from the town, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus took the opportunity to have a talk to her. Now, it wasn't the politically correct or culturally correct thing to do for a Jewish man to be talking to a Samaritan woman. And for a moment, she was a little bit surprised that Jesus would be interested in talking to her and that he even bothered to talk to her. But anyway, she quickly laid aside any of the prejudices that she might have had, and she engaged Jesus in conversation. But what is most interesting about this conversation is that that Jesus took this opportunity to talk to her about what really satisfies the deepest needs and longings of the human heart. Sure, there they were at the well, and they were both wanting to get some water. All right, they wanted to satisfy their physical need. They were probably thirsty. It was a hot day. It was the middle of the day. But Jesus knew that this woman had an even greater unfulfilled need in her life. Let's have a look at verses 13 to 19. John 4, 13 to 19. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." This Samaritan woman, yes, let's put aside her physical thirst just for the moment there. She was obviously looking for something in her life that she hadn't been very successful in fulfilling. She was looking for satisfaction or meaning in marriage, in sex, in intimacy, but these serial relationships that she happened to get herself caught up in were continuing to leave her thirsty again and again and again. She'd been through five husbands. Now she's in a de facto relationship. And the pleasure that she was deriving from these relationships, assuming that there was any pleasure in them, didn't seem to last very long. And it kept leaving her feeling empty. There was a thirst in her life, deep down, that wasn't being quenched, and she knew it. And deep down in her heart, when Jesus, by supernatural insight, revealed the state of her relationships, she agreed with him. "I can see that you are a prophet. What you say is absolutely true of me." She didn't try to talk her way out of it. She simply acknowledged that Jesus had spoken the truth. And you know, it doesn't matter how much you try to find fulfillment in material things or pleasure or relationships or entertainment or escapism by taking drugs or whatever else it might be. If those things become the quest and the desire within our heart to find fulfillment and completeness in our life, we will always eventually be left feeling empty. What Jesus was saying to the woman that day is that what you really need is you need to have a personal encounter with me. Because I can give you living water. You know, from a pastoral point of view, I often get to talk to people who have this emptiness in their life. If only God would answer my prayer, then everything is going to be okay. Maybe cure my disease. Give me a friend, give me a baby. Find me a job, give me a better job than I've got at the moment, whatever it might be. But you know, Jesus offers something better. In fact, he offers something far, far better. If you look carefully at what Jesus is saying to this woman here in this passage, you'll see that he is offering her a spiritual cure for her deepest needs and longings. And ultimately, he offers himself as the one who truly satisfies. He's the one who truly satisfies. Look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And what Jesus is offering here is a life-giving water that cures thirst forever, even beyond death. It's this inner spring that keeps on welling up, that continues to satisfy that deepest inner longings and desires of our hearts. And it keeps on welling up over and over and over again, forever and ever and ever. I mean, it's obvious that when Jesus first spoke these words, that the woman didn't really grasp what Jesus was offering. She was thinking just purely in physical terms, you know. Give me this water, Jesus, and I won't have to keep coming out here to buy more water. But gradually the penny dropped as she started to understand what Jesus was really saying. Look at verses 25 and 26. The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." And what Jesus did gradually, as he drew back the curtain, as he revealed himself. And essentially what he was saying to this woman, if you really want to have this water, you need to accept me. I am the Messiah, the one that you're looking for, the one that you're waiting for. And the end result, of course, was that the woman actually became a true believer. And she raced back into her village and told the people and said, "You've got to come and meet this guy. Come and meet the Messiah." And it tells us that many of the people from that village actually became believers in Jesus. And Jesus stayed there for another couple of days. It's a wonderful story. Just pause it there for a second. Let's jump over to chapter 7, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, because Jesus picks up on the same idea here. He says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" Where do we find this living water that's going to quench our thirsty hearts, friends? We find it in Jesus. The deepest longings and desires of our hearts are not physical. They're not material. They're not experiential. They are spiritual. And if we want the emptiness inside of us to be cured, to be permanently, eternally cured, we need to come to Jesus Christ. And this is the reason why so much of the world's methods for helping people with this emptiness in their lives are just so futile. Modern psychology does not ultimately provide the answers for the people who have this deep inner longing. Neither the self-help gurus. You can go to the bookstores and there's whole sections there of people dispensing advice for people who want to fill the emptiness in their hearts. And you talk to people at work and they'll give you lots of advice, but ultimately that is not going to satisfy you. And the reason why is that we are not biological machines, if you can put it in those terms there. We're actually people who have been made in the image of God. We have been created to live in a relationship with God himself. You think back to the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You see how God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. It was a relationship between Adam and Eve and God. And then, of course, you get to Genesis chapter 3 and you see that relationship was broken. it was destroyed, and they were cast out of the garden. So what did God do? That's it. I'm finished with these people. No, he didn't. No, he continued to pursue them. God's original intention when he created the first people, Adam and Eve, has never changed. His intention has always been to have this relationship with them, to be personally connected to these people that he had created in his own image. And friends, we have been created in the image of God to have relationships, to have fundamentally a relationship with God himself, but also have a relationship with one another. And there's that this deep longing within the soul of every human being to actually have this relationship with God restored, to have this, you know, as some of the philosophers talk about, this God-shaped hole in our hearts filled. There's only one person who can fill that hole, and that is God himself. That's what is going to complete us and make us fully the people that God in the first place made us to be. And the really good news is that Jesus Christ, God himself, has actually come into our world. He's revealed God to us as the Emmanuel, God with us. And he wants to restore that relationship between us and our Maker. And the deepest needs that we have, friends, they're not physical, they're not psychological, they're not material, they're spiritual. The deepest need that we have in our heart of hearts here is to know God personally, to experience once again the depth of his love for us, to realize that is that the God who made us is able to fulfill within us all those purposes for which he created us in the first place. And Jesus was offering that day to provide that for that woman who was desperately searching and trying to find that answer for these unfulfilled desires that were driving her life. And the amazing thing is that just as Jesus knew what was going on in the heart of that woman that day as he spoke to her, he knows what's going on in our hearts as well too. We can't hide from him. He sees what nobody else sees. And what he's doing is he's saying, I'm offering to satisfy those longings and those desires that you have within your life there, those thirsts, those hungers that are driving you and frustrating you. Jesus satisfies the longing that we have for meaning and purpose in life. Why am I here? What's the point of life? How can I do something worthwhile with my life? And you know, when we come to know the God who made us through Jesus Christ, well, we start to find that meaning. Our life does have purpose, and we can get up each morning knowing that there's something worthwhile for us to do with our lives, because the God who created us in the first place is going to complete us and give us that sense of fulfillment in doing what we do each day. Even if it's a fairly mundane job, we can still be fulfilling the desires that God has for us. A relationship with Jesus also satisfies our longing for forgiveness. The Bible tells us that what we're really like is what we're like on the inside. And what's on the inside of us, friends, makes us unclean. You look at Mark chapter 7. This is very, very telling. Mark 7, verses 20 to 23. Jesus went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And if we're honest, friends, we know, every single one of us knows that there's junk in our lives that we're ashamed of. And you know what? God knows that. He sees that. He knows what's going on at the deepest level of our hearts. And what Jesus offers to do is to remove that junk by forgiving our sin, by taking our sin and nailing it to the cross. And he made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sin and be completed as people and be made right with God. And friends, deep down, I think the greatest longing in every human heart is this need to be forgiven and to be made right with God. And Jesus offers to do that by washing us with living water. The third thing that a relationship with Jesus does is it satisfies our longing for life beyond death. Again, the Bible tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. That's what it talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I think that we all know deep down that we have been made for eternity, that this life is not all that there is, despite what the atheists of this world would try to tell us. When we come to know Jesus personally, well, and he gives us eternal life, a life which begins now, but it goes on for eternity. Saint Augustine, in somewhere around 400 AD, he was a bishop of the church in Hippo in North Africa. A great man. His writings are still available to us today. One of the things that he wrote was this: "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless till they find their rest in thee." And I wonder this morning if there's anybody here who has a restless soul. There's something missing in your life that you know. You've maybe been trying in all sorts of different ways to have that restlessness settled. In our lounge room for the last couple of years, we've had a rather unusual jigsaw puzzle. It's made of plastic pieces, but it's not flat. It's actually a sphere. It's a ball-shaped jigsaw puzzle. I don't know whether you've seen them before. It's pretty tricky to make, but it is possible. We've proven it. Fitting the last couple of pieces in is a fairly delicate little operation there. But anyway, it's been sitting there quite proudly on a box in our lounge room there for a number of years now. Well, the other day I was doing a bit of cleaning there. I noticed that there's been a little bit of damage to our jigsaw puzzle. And obviously the grandchildren have been around and some have been having a bit of a play with this thing. And it's a bit dented on one side, but there's one piece which is missing. And that's a problem. And I've actually put this thing aside. I'm waiting for Ben, when he gets a moment, to... He's the expert repairing these sorts of things. And he's going to have to fix this thing. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, there are times when life can be like that jigsaw puzzle. I mean, our lives are complicated enough as it is, and there's lots of different pieces which we need to... you know, in order to be able to fit together the way that God created us to be. But there are some people for whom there is one piece missing. And that piece that is missing is Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can fit into that hole that is still there. Only Jesus can truly satisfy and complete you as a person, can give you that sense of purpose and fulfillment that nothing else can provide. And it may well be that even this morning as I'm talking here, you know, there's something gnawing away inside of you. And you know that there's something missing. Well, Jesus is here this morning, friends, and he is saying, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And friends, I really believe that Jesus is here today and is inviting us to receive him, to allow him to come into our lives and to complete us, to meet those deeper needs and longings that we have, whether it be for approval, for acceptance, for happiness, for satisfaction in life. Nothing else is going to be able to fill that space that only he can fill. And all of us have that God-shaped hole in our lives. Friends, only Jesus truly satisfies. Christ is enough.